Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952. My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love you, dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Happy Tuesday to you, the 3rd of September, 2019. Mr. Cleland, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Pause. Good morning. It's Tuesday.
Why did you...
Good morning.
You sounded like Chet from Weird Science when you said good morning. Right. Good morning.
Yeah. You're stewed, but what? Gosh, that's a great movie. That's a great movie. It's snowing in my room, GD.
Yeah.
I don't think I can say that on the radio.
Yeah.
Can I say GD on the radio?
No. That was a good edit.
Yeah.
Good self-edit.
It was.
Good self-edit there. It is a really good movie, Weird Science is. And I think that's one of the ones that...
It's part of our P1 social, though you did not know.
Hey.
It might be a little Oingo Boingo in the background going. Just, yeah, it's a little hint.
What age do you think is the last age that actually saw Weird Science, the movie? Like, as
Robert Downey Jr.
in
one of his best roles ever. I mean, anytime you walk around with bras on your head, you know you've reached the elevation of Oscar worthy.
It's a pretty bold claim.
Well, name something better.
Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's Tony Stark.
Yeah, but that's not his character.
Well, yeah, it is.
You know, a comic book created that character.
He didn't create the Weird Science character either.
Oh, don't you tell me that's not him in real life as a teenager. That was like, hey, I'm just playing me. Yep, playing me.
Yeah.
I'm going to dump ices on nerds in the middle of the...
That's probably pretty close,
right,
but
there.
I think Tony Stark may be like pretty close to what Robert Downey Jr. is now. I mean, not as smart, obviously. But, you know, just like that playboy mentality.
Yeah.
That seems very
overrated.
Robert Downey Jr. Wow. Iron Man, overrated.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Iron Man.
Yeah, he's dead, by the way. Sorry.
Iron Man.
That's spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Avengers.
That's like 6 months ago.
Avengers Endgame, dead.
He melted. He died like 8 times. He's like Optimus Prime.
You know,
he's freaking coming back.
As a matter of fact, I watched that movie on the flight down to Dallas.
Still haven't seen it.
Is he really dead? I know they had a funeral.
No, Superman was dead in the last one, too. And then the stuff started elevating. His little things started elevating above.
Half the people in in Avengers, what was it called? The first one that Thanos was in. Half of the characters died in the first one, and they all came back in the second one. How am I supposed to believe that Tony Stark isn't coming back?
Mm.
This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
This person, you know what, P1 what? Jesse, you need to do yourself a favor. You don't watch Weird Science and not know that Robert Downey Jr. is in Weird Science.
He wears those weird glasses, doesn't he?
Yeah. His teeth were a lot further apart then, too.
Robert. Okay. According to IMDb, the number one title that pops up is Iron Man.
Well, that's probably because it's financially there.
Did you see his? Did you see the Sherlock Holmes movies that he was in?
Oh yeah, I did.
I thought those were
it's all right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's good. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he was in Back to School. You know?
Yeah, he was.
I mean, Back to School. I didn't mind that movie.
Yeah,
that's Rodney Dangerfield.
That is Rodney Dangerfield. The triple Indy.
Okay.
Sorry, right, we need to go on move stuff. This isn't we're not in the summertime. We need focus here.
No. It's football season. A lot more NFL action that we'll get to today.
We have the Bears and the Pack coming up.
On Thursday. I'm not really excited for that either.
I'd be honest with you.
Boy, you guys are just oozing enthusiasm
there. I mean, this is the first time we get to see Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, why?
Hello, Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, I've got Aaron Rodgers notes for today.
And can you say Matt LeFleur?
LeFleur.
Do we have to say his name the whole time?
Yeah.
Wait, where is it, please?
It's right here.
This doesn't concern you, LeFleur. Yeah.
What are you so happy about, LeFleur?
LeFleur.
Facial, LeFleur. Total facial. Oh, stick it in your ear, LeFleur.
Cram it up your cram hole, LeFleur.
Quite a bit. It's an aggressive montage of a head coach.
Relax.
Yeah. Yep. I have Aaron Rodgers notes for today's program. Apparently he's back in the news for something that I didn't think was that big of a deal, but apparently in Green Bay it is. NFL chatter, the culture being sold in Seattle. How different is that from some of the other NFL teams and kind of cultures that teams build there? Because you'll hear from Jadeveon Clowney later today. And one thing kind of reigns true from all those guys up in Seattle. So we'll talk about that. Plus, we're going to still go kind of reset for what we did yesterday. We're not going to dive all the way into Oregon-Auburn like we did yesterday. But reactions from week one in college football. Your over and under reactions. Things we're saying now that we may regret come November.
Or you may not regret it. You just may want to say it because you feel like it's you just get it out. It's an emotional Tuesday. All those feelings, those the sure thing that you know after week one.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think
like,
I have a...
Kind of like this one. The Pac-12 is over.
Mm. It's done.
It's done. Season's over. Oh, they didn't, why even play it?
You heard they canceled the season, right?
Yeah. No one needs to play it anymore. Mm. Ducks, it's all the Ducks' fault.
Yeah. Well, it's over.
It's over.
Last year was Washington's fault. Now it's Oregon's fault.
Exactly.
So nothing to play for.
Nothing less to do. I mean, USC lost their quarterback. Maybe Stanford did too.
Mountain West is going to the college football
playoff. Mountain West is taking over everything after they whoop up on Oregon State.
Could we have a very bad look for the Pac-12 this weekend, though? That is in my notes as well.
Yeah.
Because there's something a-brewing down in the state of California that could spell disaster come this weekend. And then we'll talk happy stuff, like how Jimbo Fisher might kill his left guard. So... All of a sudden, a lot to get to.
One other thing last night.
Oh.
So your team had a pretty good night. They had a walk-off home run.
Yeah.
Did you see Christian Yelich's cover yet on ESPN, The Body Magazine? I know we talked about it because the lady said it and said, what did she say to him on Twitter? How could you do that? Because my kids are going to see this. And he said what?
Something about Relax, Roxanne.
Relax, Roxanne. And now his new plate music is Roxanne.
So one of the funniest things I saw on Twitter is Christian Yelich, if I had a body like that, but he looks like one of the worm characters from Men in Black. You know those little wormy things that we're talking back and forth?
Don't be a body elitist. He's
I didn't say it.
Cut.
It was said on Twitter. And
I think you are.
I was cracked laughing. I couldn't stop laughing.
You know what is making what
he does? If you look at that picture, he looks like what were those things called? The three little things were the, you know what I'm talking about? In Men in Black, they're little alien things. Look like, wiry little Christian Yelich.
I don't know what you're talking about for Men in Black. I don't.
Buck, are you with me here? You know what I'm talking about.
I've only seen Men in Black once. I don't remember what that is.
Jeez.
Whoa. Really? Like you've never turned on your TV and TBS has been on and Men in Black is there like every third day?
I'm in the minority here and thinking Men in Black wasn't very good. So
you are in the minority.
I just watched it the one time, and when it's on somewhere else, I don't continue watching it.
I feel
it.
Like I don't even know you.
Sorry.
All right, final question. Do you pose that way? No matter what? Are you posing that? Are you taking that shot?
Yeah.
No problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Have you seen the GIF that is floating around of that body issue? It is of Christian Yelich butt naked sliding on a wet tarp.
Why?
With his baseball glove on.
Why?
I don't.
Is he diving for a ball in the outfield?
I'm going to go ahead and retweet this.
Mm.
I have no idea what's in the content of the YouTube link, yeah. So don't judge me on that. I'm going to go ahead and put this out here. But it says sliding into the body issue content, and it's a YouTube link. And I have no idea what it is. But it's just, I just want you all to see the GIF that I retweeted right now at Dusty_Hera.
Worm creatures. Thanks, P1 Dust. I think they were like worm creatures.
Man.
Worm something.
I don't know. Okay. Let's get to this show. Would you like to start it yet?
We already did, didn't we? Didn't we start it when we started talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking. Good point. I didn't know that you start the show. I thought we started talking, that's the start of the show.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that the grab ass is done, do you want to start?
I was talking about sports, naked baseball players on ESPN. That's sports.
I guess you're right.
It's back-to-back times I'm right. All right.
Professional transition now.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Okay, on this day in sports history, 1994, maybe you remember this guy. Terry Dean tosses an NCAA record 7 touchdown passes in the first half as Florida beat New Mexico State 70-21. I don't know who
Florida
Terry Dean
quarterback
is.
Terry Dean.
Terry Dean. Florida
I don't
quarterback.
Remember that guy.
What year again?
94. I say you may remember him because you were in college. Mm.
Florida, no, because I was thinking, isn't that Danny Werfel? But that's no. Danny Werfel was 96. 95, 96. So that was before Danny Werfel. I know. I don't remember that.
It kind of goes to my idea of just goes to show you how great Steve Spurrier was.
Yeah. The old ball coach.
Well, Terry Dean, who's now an internet marketing coach, according to Google.
Good for him.
Yeah. He threw 7 touchdowns in a half. Also on this date, Miami routed Georgia Southern 56-0, breaking the NCAA record with its 58th consecutive home win.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, that one's for
might you. Might have been some team that would have stole that tombstone that following year.
There you go. And that's why I put that one in there.
I know.
On this date,
you
sports
didn't think
history.
I'd remember that.
Well, no, I don't. I put it in there just so you could have a happy moment to start the
just
day.
One smile. I get it. I know.
Yeah, get your moment. Oof. Because the Washington Huskies that Cam Clinton was part of broke that record.
We did.
Congrats.
Ray Lewis, Rohan Marley, Warren Sapp.
God.
There was really good football players on that Miami team.
They were so good.
They were good. Boy, did they run their mouths. I remember the Tootsie Roll on the kickoff. The butt fly. Let me see.
Yeah.
And we were all Tootsie Rolling. They were running. This game was over.
And then they just crush you.
They did. They beat us up in the first half.
Mm. And then
Miami
came back.
Sweltering Miami Heat. Sweltering.
Does that make... Oh, I have a question.
Makes
for
it
you.
All the
Does
much
that
better
make
to beat
people
their
tougher?
The Heat?
Yeah. That's a question I got to ask you.
That kind of Heat?
6:15 on the fan. One time, cotton candy, sweetie, go. Let me see the Tootsie Roll.
Come on, just make that Tootsie Roll. Here we go, here we go. This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
What a great song for a kickoff. Do you think they still do it?
1994.
I wonder if they still Tootsie Roll during the kickoff down in Miami.
I don't see why not.
I'm sure they play Rick Ross or something like that. Miami-based Florida DJ Khaled.
This was big time. If I remember correctly, Tootsie Roll came out in August, and this was like, it was banging. You have no idea. What were you, like 10?
I was.
9?
I was 10.
Buck, you were 9.
I recall is this being on the very first Jock Jams CD that was issued by ESPN.
Super Jock Jammy.
Definitely had that album, so I was familiar with
it. How much money do you think ESPN made off of Jock Jams?
A lot.
That's when the whole Michael Buffer started really cracking down on the you know, the words that he says before the ring, before a big fight, that we can't say or you get sued.
Yeah.
Because I remember that on Jock Jams 2. And Jock Jams 2, Volume 2, it had the Alan Parsons Project, Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Bulls, yeah, the entry song.
Everybody wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, yeah. Jock Jams kind of changed the world.
Sure did.
Changed the world. and stadium anthems forever, because they just, stadiums just all put that in, played it. I have a, I posed a question to you. You said that heat was different down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Just that hot, humid mess. Does that make teams tougher? I heard Auburn fans down in Dallas were talking about this, and they, granted, they were drunk.
Yeah.
And I was sober, and I was listening to them talk about it, mm-hmm. but they were, hey, that heat, it gets us ready, you know, because it was this whole Oregon is in shape. Both teams are in shape. You've gone through fall camp. Does that fall, that muggy mess of weather, make you a tougher football team?
I think it makes you, well, you're acclimated more. So if you're in a drier climate, I think there's two things that you can, you, I mean, of course, yes, that the answer has got to be yes. One, if you're an Olympic athlete, where do Olympic athletes train? They train at high elevation mm-hmm. because it starves your body of oxygen so they can learn and train their bodies to be able to perform at a higher level. Just like every time you go play at Utah or you play BYU or you play there, I mean, it's, you notice the difference immediately. It's like playing at Laramie, okay, in yeah. Wyoming. Okay, the higher the elevation. Same thing with heat. If you train in heat, every year we would train in heat prior to training camp for the football in New Orleans, and then we would go up, and we had guys train from all over the NFL and come down and train with Tom Shaw. Tom Shaw is a speed and conditioning coach, now runs out of Disney, was one of the starters of Nike Spark. So, yes, I do believe it makes you a better athlete, and it makes you a little bit better shape physically.
You are more worn down while you're training.
Absolutely.
Like
that,
that's the thing. That game, yeah. That's the whole idea. By that's what I, in my translation of what they were saying as being drunk, I was sitting there going, they're just saying that they just train harder. Like your body wears down more. So when you're physically. In an air-conditioned Cowboys yeah. stadium, it's a lot more of an easier environment to certainly. Play football in.
No, I think that that doesn't take a lot of logic to understand it. If you train at the kind of heat, and we're talking 90% humidity and in the 90s, and your body is always under that duress. Finally, when you perform at that level in an air conditioned, because they closed the roof, from what I've correct. How hot was it down there that day?
Oh, it was, outside it was scorching. Inside it was like 70.
Yeah, and guys were cramping and yep. fatiguing, and you could see it. Yep. And they were worn out. They were tired for its first game of the year, too. That does make a difference. So I agree with it a little bit. It's not an end-all, see-all.
No.
But send up an Auburn team to the Pacific Northwest, say, November.
We're going to get a different team.
And we're going to get a lot of different teams.
Well, just
aren't
like,
we? Just
any like of the how Arizona well, schools or USC.
Yeah, just tell me how well that Miami Dolphins team plays late in the season.
In Foxborough.
How well do they do? Yeah, when they
but,
travel up to Buffalo or New York.
But the whole point
or,
is, yeah, no, early know. In the year, what does Miami do?
College football.
They
early
bring,
in the year.
They bring teams down
yeah.
to Miami, put yeah. them on that sideline that has sun glaring at you, and they wear
you
their white
right.
uniforms.
You dang right they do.
And they wear you out.
And who loses early in the season
New
every
England.
Year down there?
New England Patriots.
Because you can't prepare for that.
Yeah.
And college football, what do you do in college football? If you don't win early in the season, where's your advantage? Winning
you're
late
dying.
In the year does nothing for you.
Right.
Really?
Well,
I mean, but you can lose more. I mean, when you lose those kind of games,
yeah, your season can end at the beginning of the year in college football.
It can. It could take you out of it a lot faster at the beginning of the season. At
yes.
the end of the season, you could still be Georgia and get in Alabama and still get in and not get in your championship game because you're considered one of the better teams.
Yeah.
Because you've played a whole season
mm-hmm.
and you've got injuries.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I mean, that's like we have a texter on the Better You Today text line 55305. He's saying, just watch these offensive line and just animals. And he sent us a link to Jeff Schwartz, who was breaking down Penei Sewell. And I love how Jeff Schwartz does it because you have guys now on Twitter and whatnot that'll they have it like streaming and they'll stop and rewind and it's the actual screenshot of the computer. Schwartz is just literally doing like selfie on the TV,
pointing
his
finger.
Yeah.
I know. I was like,
and
get yourself a coach's clicker.
Videos like that are exactly my point yeah. in that in the first half, you saw Oregon, their offensive linemen yeah. were big.
Yep.
They were strong. They were imposing. But as the game wore on, who had more in the tank at the end?
Auburn didn't. They leaned on you longer.
Physically leaned on you longer. That question of, does it make you tougher when you're training harder and in that wearing your body down all summer long?
Early in the season, yes.
Yes. But not, equalizer is late in the year.
Equalizer is come up to the Pacific Northwest or play Wisconsin or play something like that late in the season. That's why those Big Ten teams and stuff. But we're not ever going to see national championship games in 30-degree weather. College football is never going to do that. Mm-mm. Where do they play all the Big Ten, the SEC? Where does the Big Ten play their championship
game?
Dome. Inside. Where does the ACC play it?
Dome.
Down south, inside. Where does the SEC play it?
Dome.
Where does the Pac-12 gonna play it?
Vegas.
So really, we're cold weather tough. That'll help you about two times a year. One is called the Apple Cup. The other's called the Civil War up here.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of derailed our whole conversation there that we had going on. All right, P1 Social 55305. Let's open up college football week one. Over and under reactions. Hot takes or things you're going to regret thinking in November that you're thinking right now. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. P1 Social College Football Week 1 is in the books. Over, under reactions that we're having after Week 1.
FYI, we were here yesterday. So yes. If you weren't with us yesterday, we got into it. We've got down and dirty.
We rolled up our sleeves and we talked a lot of Oregon Auburn.
We did. There was some venting. There were some things like that. And today is a reflection day.
Yeah, it is.
Reflection.
Bigger picture stuff. If you want the Oregon Auburn breakdown and all that stuff, you can go listen to the podcast. Yeah. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com or right there on your radio.com app, where we talked a lot about Oregon Auburn, what went wrong, and the few things that did go right, including some good freshman performances for Oregon. But today, overreactions and underreactions from week one. Things that you're going to regret thinking and saying right now come November, or things that you think are truths coming out of week one. 55305. This text coming in. Not sure how hot of a take this is, but Tim Tebasar is a really terrible DC. That would be Oregon State's defensive coordinator.
Okay.
The defense for Oregon State was not improved against Oklahoma State.
It looked more athletically declined than called declined. Is that fair?
So you're saying it's more of a Jimmy's and Joe's than X's
I think
and
so.
O's.
I mean, I saw spots in a point where you looked like you would take the angle for an attack to make a tackle, and you just couldn't get there physically.
Like, if plays were designed to be funneled a certain direction, yes, and you just didn't make the play.
If you keep your outside shoulder free and contain, and you have a guy in contain, and you go to step up to make that tackle, and you're 3 yards from able to make that tackle, at some point in time, I could be a great coach and I can scheme you into everything. You have to go and make that play.
And I think that's the frustrating part for Oregon State fans right now is the fact that it was supposed to be different. You have the transfers that are in on that defense that are supposed to be making the difference. You have a little bit more veteran experience and guys coming back, but it just wasn't better. I mean, from you expected David Morris to be a huge impact. You had Gums, who I thought played pretty well as a transfer, but it just didn't make that big of a difference for him. All right, 55305, Better You Today text line. Oh, that texter added, and Notre Dame should not be ranked 9th in the nation.
Well, that goes without saying. I'll start with this one too, Better You Today text line. It would be nice if one of these days the Pac-12 to beat the SEC so we could stop asking for respect and earn it. Well, I tweeted this out after the game against the Ducks, and it is the 10th straight loss by the Pac-12 to a ranked SEC opponent. So whether you can look at it or not, you've matched up against them. You just haven't been able to. Again, rankings. We said that Notre Dame should not be ranked 9. I hate preseason rankings. for one reason and one reason only. We have no idea which team or how to rate these guys based on just an eyeball test or reading a magazine, other than maybe a few teams that have Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. Other than that, you are guessing. So if you don't think Notre Dame's a number 9 ranked team, they looked all right last night. It's not like Louisville was crap. There was a lot of turnovers. Again, a lot of turnovers early in the season, but it's not like they were garbage.
Yeah, they were dirt, but it was just a sloppy performance by Notre Dame, and just like it was a sloppy performance from Florida. And here's the other thing that we expect from teams is perfection week one, and that is alarming for college football.
Well, that's alarming to ask an 18-year-old who's probably a quarterback, and you look at quarterbacks, and I'm not just speaking for Bo Nix, a guy from Auburn, but here's a kid that came from high school, now he's supposed to be perfect on the national stage in Jerry's world against Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert's supposed to be better. All these questions that we have at the beginning of the season, remember, this is that reaction that we're looking for from you after week one. The season is over. The SEC is better. The Pac-12 can't figure it out. So what? Yeah.
Well, I got one for you along those lines of the SEC is better and the Pac-12 can't figure it out. That gap in the SEC is getting so much wider between their top and their bottom, that the SEC is becoming almost every other conference. Look at the losses that team suffered from the SEC this week.
Tennessee
to Georgia State. You had Missouri going on the road to Wyoming and taking a tumble there to a Wyoming team that you're sitting there and you're like, man, that ain't it, boss.
But then it's, yeah.
You then, have a lot of losses that you go, the bottom of that conference, it used to be top to bottom, SEC is a good football conference. Ole Miss loses to Memphis.
Sure. So would you potentially think of, remember how good Kentucky was last year?
I do.
Could Kentucky be what the Pac-12 is hoping for from Utah this season? Kind of that team that's always on the brink, maybe has good talent. Mm-hmm. You think you're like Kentucky, basketball school. What is Utah? Utah's always been tough. Coach Whittingham is going to be known for that. Can Huttley be that guy? That's what maybe the Pac-12 is leaning on. And thinking and hoping you can see that, but the SEC is extremely top-heavy. But what doesn't matter about that is that Texas A&M is going to be good. LSU is going to be considered good. Auburn is going to be considered good. Alabama and Georgia are all going to be considered good.
And that's what I'm saying, though, is that their top has always been the cream of the crop.
Yes.
But their bottom has always been propped up. Now I think that it's getting to a point where it's getting so much more, the discrepancy in the balance
like
of power
is
getting so much worse that those top teams are getting all of the talent. Yeah. Like there was a guy from that covered the Georgia's play-by-play guy. He came on and he said they feel comfortable 33 deep.
Yeah.
On each side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 3 deep, they're saying, on both sides of the ball, they feel comfortable, can go and play. Like, that is what the elite teams are doing now.
I remember I asked that last year. I said, could the JV team, not the JV team, let me rephrase that. No, let's call it the number twos for Alabama. Where would that number two team, just the number twos, finish in the Pac-12? And I would argue they'd finish probably fourth or fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Just the number twos. And you could probably say that about Georgia. You could also probably say that about LSU, right in that range. But what would a number two deep at Oregon finish, or number two deep at Washington finish in the SEC? Dead last.
Yeah. And that's the discrepancy that you're seeing with the SEC's top tier teams. You're like Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah, depth.
Maybe eventually Texas A&M will get there, but they're a very top-heavy conference right now. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Pew and Corn Dog chiming in. He just wants to say, I don't get to say this very often, but Cal's in first place. Suck on that.
Fighting Wilcoxes.
After struggling with UC Davis.
Hey, we got a game already this week coming up. We're going to have a Pac-12 game coming. We have two of them. You got USC and Stanford, but it's not like you can sleep on Cal going up to Washington and playing there in Seattle. So we're going to know a little bit about those two teams.
Well, if there's one thing that we know, Cal can play defense.
Yeah, very well, too.
Yeah. All right. 55305. Utah's offense was awful. You cannot win in today's football without a decent offense. Their defense is really good and is going to keep them in a bunch of games. Their offense was shaky, but I think that goes back to what I was saying before. Like, we asked for perfection week one from these guys. They have Zach Moss. They have Tyler Huntley. Britton Covey is a great possession receiver in the slot for them and is a playmaker. I think they're going to be just fine offensively. They will what they have to avoid is stubbing their toe early.
So I don't know what you want to expect from Utah. What is it that you're looking for when he says awful? They won. They won 30-12 against a rival in the opening game. They physically controlled that football game.
On the road.
Are you expecting Tyler Huntley to be somebody magic man that just woke up and said, I'm going to be the next greatest thing? Or they ran the football down BYU's throat.
Yes.
With their offensive line. If you can do that and you can play great defense, you can still win.
And when they did throw the ball, they were very efficient in doing so.
Great defense will always keep you in the football game. Always will keep you in the football game. So if you want to tell me that, yeah, their offense isn't great, all right, great, fantastic. You can be Oregon State. You can watch Oklahoma State throw the ball all over the yard, and neither of them play any defense. Yeah.
Huntley went 13 of 16 for 106 yards.
They didn't have to. Yeah, because Zach Moss ran for 187 yards.
I know, but the thing that's important to look at there is they were very efficient when they did decide
balanced.
To throw the football.
Yeah, they're balanced. They threw
13 of 16. He had 3 incompletions all game long. They want, what Utah wants to do and what they're going to ask Tyler Huntley to do, keep the clock running, mm-hmm. move the ball down the field.
Play to your strengths.
I don't care how you get to 30 points. Get us to 30 points, and we feel our defense will hold everybody under that. And I think if you have that game plan and you're Utah, they executed it, right?
Yep. So they're not going to change their identity. They did it last year when they lost. You know, they played Washington twice. It was a good game, okay, at Rice-Eccles Stadium. And then they played in the championship game in the Pac-12. It was 10-7. I mean, those games were both ugly.
Yep. Yes. And their defense is electric. They're really good. And you're not going to be able to lean on them quite as heavily as you did to get points. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can have an offense that churns out the clock. Doesn't matter how you get there. Let's be conservative once we do get a lead, and we'll win this thing. And they get 14 points in the fourth quarter, for goodness sakes. All right, 55305, more of your overreactions and underreactions from week 1 in college football. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305, better you today. Text line. P1 Zolo. Broncos over Knowles. How hot of the seat is Willie Taggart on? Does Willie finish the season? That text coming in. Better you today, text line. We're doing overreactions, underreactions from week 1 of college football. Did you hear Slick Willie's?
I did. I did.
His reason.
Yeah.
He needs to get Tom Herman's P chart out. Proper levels of hydration. He said that his training staff was having to force guys to hydrate before the Boise State game. Mm-hmm. Yes, because Florida State lost because of hydration issues. That's the reason. That's the ticket.
It's not like Boise State probably wasn't prepared to play in the heat and the humidity, and they had to fly and change their direction, and he's trying to find whatever you need to do. If guys are cramping and fatigued, you can't simulate a game early in the season. You just can't. You don't know what your exertion level is going to end up being. And those guys, if you don't properly hydrate, but that's Willie Taggart, isn't it? Do something.
Do something. Like,
have a great day if you want to. If you want to make sure you drank enough, you didn't. Mm.
Just get your pee right.
Just admit it, man. You overlooked them.
Yeah, or
you slept on them.
You took your foot off the gas, a la another team that had a double-digit lead in the second half, and
don't do it.
Ended up losing.
Yeah,
you know. I mean,
that's why you never stop.
Facts. Okay, here we go now. Underreaction. What if Auburn is not that good? Like 3-5 in the SEC like last year.
That's a great underreaction. Happened last year.
And their schedule,
the whole Pac-12 conference.
Their schedule is insanely tough. If you haven't heard or didn't hear any of our pre- or post-game show or any of that stuff, this week Auburn has Tulane. But down the road after they play Kent State, they go on the road to 12th-ranked Texas A&M, on the road to 8th-ranked Florida, on the road to 6th-ranked LSU, host number 3 Georgia, and host number 2 Rammer Bammer Yellowhammer Alabama.
Yeah. Well, they'll know real quick how good they are.
Yikes.
Certainly. Here's a text that says, Justin Herbert, better you today, text line. Justin Herbert, also very efficient.
Like Huntley.
Everyone is killing him.
Right.
I think that what we're asking for, and I said this at the start of the season, is that signature win from Justin. And when you know that you line up behind the quarterback, I'm sorry, behind center, and you are the quarterback of a major, major college program, you get all the glory, but you also get all the hate. Mm-hmm. You know that. Everybody knows that. And I, unfortunately, us on the outside, we know that there's 11 guys out there, and 10 of them are trying to help Justin Herbert, and he's that. But when you come back for your senior season and you're considered a top five pick in the NFL draft and one of the best players in the country, when you don't lead the team to the win on a huge stage, it's not unfair to look at that and say, what more could he have done? Yeah. That's not unfair to do that, because that's part of what the quarterback position has evolved to now. It takes all the pressure in the world.
And Justin Herbert was wildly efficient in that game. I mean, he had a very good game, and he was very smart with the football. But in those moments that you're talking about, it is forcing a ball in late in a game where you need it, right? Like the Spencer Webb touchdown pass was that throw. It's like, is that a good throw? No. Was it successful because he is a freak of nature and has a rocket for an arm? Yes.
Was the Bo Nix throw for the touchdown a great throw?
No, it was not. It was almost just as bad as the previous play where he underthrew and almost got picked off.
Yep.
You know, they're not good throws. But in those moments, that's what you're kind of talking about, is like, it's not necessarily the right throw, but it's the throw that you need to make to win the game.
How about it's the it factor? That moment of shine where you've seen it before here in Oregon. You've seen it here. You had a guy that did that. Yep. You saw that. You knew what that feeling was like when someone made a play. We're not condemning what Justin Herbert is doing.
Really good.
He's an unbelievable, talented young man, and he's going to have a successful collegiate and professional career. We're just talking on the stage versus SEC. Where was it?
And that's where the receivers, which you hate, we went into this yesterday.
Yeah, I know. We did.
You can hear that, but that's where the receivers come into it. That's where the scheme comes into it. And people say, you know, it'll be a what if in those moments, in those times. 55305, the better you today. Text line, overreactions, underreactions. Oklahoma will win the national championships. Jalen Hurts wins their third Heisman in a row.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that's a really good take.
I called it yesterday.
I think it's a good take.
I called it yesterday. Jalen Hurts will not win the Heisman. And it won't be because he's not deserving of it. It'll be because Heisman voters will go, we can't give it to the same team 3 years in a row.
Yeah, it's kind of like you can't give Bill Belichick Coach of the Year since 2010. Right. How does that happen?
LeBron James should be the MVP of the NBA.
Every year.
Every single year.
But we can't give it to him.
Right? And I think that will be what stops Jalen Hurts from winning the Heisman Trophy. He will be deserving of it. And I think the conversation will be, well, Lincoln Riley does it. Lincoln Riley does it for those guys.
It's not fair. College football will go, it's not fair. We got to give it to somebody else.
Right.
Who's standing out after week one?
Though Jalen Hurts is definitely standing out after week one.
Yeah.
But they'll find somebody. They'll find somebody who have their Heisman moment, man.
Yep.
The front runner after week one never wins it.
I feel pretty good about this. I think the Heisman Trophy will come from one of three teams.
Oh. Is this a post-it? Are we going to post-it note this?
Alabama.
Okay.
We all know who that will be.
Mm-hmm. The left tackle.
No.
Oh.
Tua.
Okay.
Clemson. Mr. Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Or Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. One of those three guys, one of those three teams.
Can I throw a wild card in there?
Please.
Justin Fields.
Oh, that's a good wild card. That's a quality wild card.
Because they could make the playoff, and he lit it up.
He did.
He lit it up. Okay. 55305, the better you today text line. Overreactions, underreactions, week one in college football, things that you're going to look like a genius for saying in November, or things we might look stupid for saying in November. We'll have more of those coming up next. Plus, next hour, what sold Jadeveon Clowney on Seattle? And Pac-12 could be an ugly week under center. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.